word that our sound is better today. The microphone's up. It's being picked up there with a little speaker. And I'm going to have to, Adam, I'm going to have your help this week and see if we can't put a microphone on my computer, a better microphone, that we can pick up things better. It looks sad to say that we're in this for a while. One of the things I would like to encourage all of us to do is pray for all of our churches that are teaching the Word of God and preaching, because it's a very difficult thing. And disunity, as I have mentioned several weeks ago, I told you, disunity is setting into the churches. Some churches, because of the size, they just can't meet. They're just too big. There's no way they can whittle it down small enough, and they can't meet. And there's people in those churches that are unhappy. Why can't we meet? And then there are smaller churches like ours that can meet, and there are people say, why are we meeting? We're going to kill people. And then there's people that don't wear a mask. Why isn't everyone wearing a mask? And then there are people say, I'm never going to wear a mask. And this disunity is terrible. I hear people talking, well, I don't bother the leadership of our church. What's our leadership doing? Why don't they get us up and going? And I'm talking about our church, just as a whole, across the churches, around the world. Dear friends, let us remember that what is happening today here in Spokane Valley is happening all over the world. It's happening in Portugal. It's happening in Spain. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in Brazil, China, all over the world. And all over the world, churches are not meeting. It's not just unique to us here. And it's a very difficult time. The saddest thing is to see that Christians aren't sticking together. We need to stick with our fellow believers. We need to be praying for them. We need to realize the difficulty that there is, and the heart, and some churches, it's just they don't even can't get the cleaning supplies and the other things they need, the degree of cleaning. That actually, I'm not going to go more, but let's pray for unity for God's people around the world today. Let's pray that God would work and give us a heart to understand, a heart to worship Him, and a heart to serve Him. Let's pray, dear friends, that God might give us a heart to seek after God. And that's what we're speaking on today. We're going to David. We want to talk about David and his heart for God. We read in the Word of God, in the book of Acts. We start out, we have this very interesting verse in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 13, and we're going to look here. Acts chapter 13. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It was here earlier this morning. I was looking at it. Acts chapter 13. Kind of the key to these series. We're going to have a couple more messages on David. And we have here in Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, that is Saul, the early verses talk about Saul, how Saul had greatly failed God. God had given Saul an assignment, and Saul had decided, well, I'm going to do it my own way. And he didn't obey God. He had it incomplete. He did part of it. He did part of it, but he didn't do it all. He didn't obey all of God's word. And you know, that's an interesting challenge we face. How much of God's word are we to obey, friends? How much of God's word is important to the believer and to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today? How much are we to obey? Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew was tempted by Satan? And he was hungry. He had been 40 days without eating and drinking. And the Lord, Satan came and said, turn these rocks into bread. And you remember the answer that the Lord Jesus Christ gave from the Old Testament? He said, truly, truly, I say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word. See, partial obedience is not obedience at all, huh? When we're told to do something and we just do part of it, that's not obedience. When our mommy and daddy told us to do something and we just did part of it, that was incomplete obedience. That was disobedience. And that's what happened to Saul. Saul was disobedient to God because he didn't do everything that God had instructed him to do. And for this reason, God rejected him. God rejected Saul. And that's why we have this verse 22, Acts chapter 13, verse 22. And when he had removed him, that is, when God had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. We have in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, a very important verse, dear friends, to us who are followers of Jesus Christ, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that was what God found in David. He found a young... Remember when David, when he had this testimony, when David was chosen to be king, he was probably about 16 years old. Maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, but around that, 16 years old. And he was obedient to God. He was obedient to God. He sought God as a young man, as a boy, as a teenager. David sought after God. Probably one of the best, and we look back to Samuel now, 1 Samuel. And probably one of the, at least in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, probably the best known Bible story or the story in the Bible in the New Testament is probably the birth of Jesus, huh? The birth of Jesus in Bethlehem, a little town of Bethlehem, and all of the songs and everything. That's probably in the New Testament one of the things that people, one of the facts that people know in the New Testament, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in Bethlehem. And in the Old Testament, there's a number, but probably one of the best known Bible stories of Sunday school students and others in the book of the Old, in the Old Testament, is the story of David and Goliath, huh? What young man doesn't like to hear the story of this young man, David, defeating this huge, big man? Goliath stood somewhere about 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That's pretty tall, huh? He could make the center on about any basketball team in the world, I imagine. If you're 9 foot 9, you don't have to be able to dribble the ball. You have to not bring it down. If you're that tall, you just got to keep it up. Once you bring it down, they take it away and it's gone. But if you kept it up there, then you just drop it down into the net. Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. They say something like that. That's a tall man. And we read here in 1 Samuel, we read about David fighting Goliath. Now, back in the 16th chapter we looked at last week, and I'm sorry about the sound. We're going to continue to work on it. And we're going to get good sound here. They tell me the sound is going good to the left. And the reason is because it's going over here to the left and through the computer over here and is picking it up. And I'm hoping with the speakers that helps and my voice. But we have here in 1 Samuel, we looked at last week, the choice of David to be king. And here we have some great verses. We want to just look at this as we move into our study this morning in 1 Samuel chapter 17 is the David and Goliath. But notice here in chapter 16, and it is valuable that we pay a little attention once again to the choice of David to be king. We find here in the early part of the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, we find that Saul's disobedience. Saul was told to destroy everything. All of the cattle, all the sheep, all the animals, all the people. And he was to destroy the king. And Samuel went to Saul and he said, Saul, why didn't you obey the God? Oh, I did everything. I did it all. Well, no. Listen. I hear the sheep. What are these sheep I hear? What are these cattle I hear? And so, well, the people made me do it. It's always someone else's fault. Have you noticed about the pandemic? It's always someone else's fault what's going on. And you know, that's just built into mankind since our first mother and father, Adam and Eve. You saw it there. God, why did you eat the apple or the fruit, whatever it was? Oh, the devil made me do it. Oh, the woman you gave, Adam. He said, Adam, why did you eat the fruit? I told you not to eat that fruit. And the woman you gave me made me do it. Eve, why did you eat the fruit? Oh, the devil made me do it. Always blaming somebody else. Not taking responsibility for our own actions. And so we see here what Saul said, well, the people, it's not my fault. Well, it was his fault. He was told what to do by God. He was given the word of God and he didn't do it. It's his fault. It's no one else's. And so we see what happens here in verse 14, chapter 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Now, we need to stop here just a moment and look at that. In the Old Testament, see, the Holy Spirit was operating from eternity past. In creation, the Holy Spirit was operating in creation. And in the fact of the matter, in the history of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit operated. We see it here, but it is different than in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people for certain jobs and then left. In the New Testament, thank God, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and saves us, he indwells us and he stays with us forever and ever. That's a wonderful truth. The Holy Spirit dwells in the believer. The Holy Spirit brings us to faith in Christ and then he dwells in us. In the Old Testament, we see here the Holy Spirit came upon, the Spirit of God came upon Saul to be king, empowered him and directed him to be king. But when Saul was disobedient, when Saul turned his back on the word of God and he decided, Saul, when he said to him, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm king. I don't have to take orders from anyone. I'll do what I want to do. The Spirit of God departed from him. And so that's what we see there. In verse 14, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, and it goes on about this. And we start seeing about this man, David. Now we saw David up before this just happened. We saw that he was anointed as king. And why was he anointed as king? Well, this is very important. David was anointed as the king over the people of God, over the nation Israel, because God found in David a man after his own heart. David wasn't chosen for king because he was the tallest. Now, Saul was a very tall man too. Saul was a big man. Saul looked like a king. David did not look like a king. David was short, David was young, David was only about 16 years old. He had a reddish complexion. He was a youth. And it wasn't because of his looks and his appearance that he was chosen as king, that God chose him. God chose him as king because David had a heart to seek after God. David had a heart to know God and to obey God and live for God. Now, did he always do that? No. Was he always all that God had intended him to be and all that David himself wanted to be? No, he wasn't. We're going to look at that next week, the failure of David. But he had a great start and a great finish and a great continuing. We're going to look at that. Notice why he was chosen. First of all, when the oldest son, when we're going to see David's older brother today, Abinadab. Now, Abinadab was an impressive-looking man. And when he came before Samuel, who was to anoint him king, Samuel, boy, this was an easy job. Jesse has these seven sons, and here comes the first one, and boy, he's the one. I didn't have to spend much time here. This was an easy job for me to do. And God said, hold on a minute, Samuel. This isn't the one. Don't look on his outward appearance. And we have that verse that is so important. And what he says here, and verse 7, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. And as I mentioned last week, this is a verse that everyone needs to have underlined in their Bible, marked in their thinking. We need this verse today. We've always needed it. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Dear friends, God is concerned about our heart. God doesn't look at how powerful a person is. God doesn't look at how beautiful a woman is, how attractive a man is. God doesn't look on these outward things, how tall they are, how short they are, how skinny they are, how heavy they are. God looks at the heart. Now, our problem is with you and me, what we do is we look at outward appearances. We judge people by how they look. We judge people by whether they're attractive or not attractive. Whenever I think of that, I think of the story that's very common. I remember hearing it many times, and I often think of that, of the little boy that went to the store with his mother and was in the store with his mother, and they got separated and lost. And he was lost, and someone found him, and he got running around. They said, my mother, I've lost my mother. And someone said, well, can you describe her to us? And he said, yes, my mother is the most beautiful woman in the world. Well, do you know her name? Yeah, her name is Martha. And you can see her, she's just the most beautiful. And you see the most beautiful woman, that's my mother, Martha. And so they come and say, we found your son. We have your son here. Martha, would you please come and claim him? And they waited a little bit, and very rapidly, here comes this lady running up. Johnny, where's my son Johnny? And here was Martha. And not a very attractive woman, kind of a homely woman, the clerk said. But see, to her son, the son of the mother, she was the most beautiful woman there was. And that's where we find real beauty, not in outward appearance. Real beauty is down inside a person, in their heart. And how they love us and how we love them, that's where we find real beauty. So David was chosen as king, and notice that, because God looked on his heart. And that's an important message for us to realize today, dear friends, for you to realize, for me to realize, God looks at our heart. God's concerned what's going on in our heart. And that was the thing of David. Well, I want to go into the 17th chapter here now to see one of the things that made David a man after God's own heart. That's what we want to look at. We're not going to cover all of them this morning. And I'm not sure how many there are. I have a list of 10 here. There's probably more. But it's important. If you and I are going to be people after God's own heart, if our church, if Christ Fellowship is going to be a church after God's own heart, we have to know the characteristics of what it is to be after God's own heart. And I believe number one here is we find in 1 Samuel chapter 17, a passion for the holiness of God and the righteousness of God. Now, I'm going to just talk through this a little bit and then we'll turn to the Word of God. It's a very familiar story in the Old Testament about Samuel. There's a war going on between the Philistines, the continual enemies of the people of God, and the Israelites. And they're camped here. And their battle has come a stalemate because the Philistines have this champion of theirs that is Goliath, who is 9 feet 9 inches tall. And every day Goliath comes out and challenges someone to do hand-in-hand combat with him. Whoever wins then gets the prize. And if he wins, then Israel loses and they take over. If Israel wins, then the Philistines lose and Israel wins. So it was kind of a simple plan to do battle. And so David's three oldest brothers were down there in the battle. And so David's father, Jesse, calls David and he says, David, I want you to go down and I want you to see how your brothers are doing. I want you to take them some food. He called him, he's out there taking care of the sheep. He was a shepherd and he was taking care of the family's flock of sheep. And now he's going to be an errand boy to carry bread and cheese down to the battle, you know. Not necessarily a very high position. But I want you to go down and check on your brothers. I want to know how they're doing and what's going on down there. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have telephones. They didn't have internet to check on those things. And Jesse wanted to know what was happening with his sons. So David, he left the sheep with someone else, with another shepherd there, and David took the bread and the cheese to take down to the soldiers, and he goes down to the battle to see his three brothers. And we pick this up now. We pick this up down in verse 21. For Israel and the Philistines had been in battle array and the army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of a keeper and of the carriage and ran into the army and came to salute his brethren. So he left the bread and the cheese he brought and the provisions, the food he brought from home. He left that with someone else and he ran to see what was going on at the battle. And he talked with them, and behold, there came the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. So every day he came out, and he gave this speech, and this day David's there, and David hears Goliath's speech. And all the people of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel he has come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake unto the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David had a great passion and a great concern for the people of God, for the Word of God, and for God Himself. It's very interesting. Here's this young boy. 17, 16, 17, 18 years old. But he had a passion for the things of God. You notice there? And he heard this Philistine, this man of God, Goliath, come and ridicule God, ridicule his army, ridicule his people. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him after this manner, saying, "So shall it be done to the man that killeth him." And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. Have a little sibling anger here. I think it was more than that. I think Eliab had felt rejected by Samuel. And how would you feel? You're the oldest brother. You're tall, you're strong, you're handsome, and here's this little baby of the family. He comes in, you're rejected by Samuel to be king, and here's your little brother, the shepherd boy, I mean, just a little kid, keeper of the sheep, and he gets anointed to be the future king of Israel. And now he's down there at the battle, down there, and making them all look bad. He said, "Well, how come everyone's standing around and letting this giant come and criticize and mock and laugh at the people of God? How can this be?" So here's what the elder brother says to his little baby brother. "Why comest thou down hither? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness?" You know, who's taking care of the sheep now? Not a very important job, and there's not many of them. And why aren't you doing that? What are you doing down here? And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner, and the people answered him again after the former manner. And the words, verse 31, "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul and sent for him." And David said, now here we start to see what's in the heart of a man, a woman, what's in the heart of a person that seeks after God. A man who God finds, a man or a woman who God finds a person that serves him and seeks after him and lives for him. Notice this. "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul and sent for him. And David said to Saul," verse 32, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." "I'm not going to stand here," David said. This young teenage boy, young man, he says, this shepherd boy, he says, "I'm not going to stand still and let people criticize God. I'm not going to stand here and let people mock God. I'm not going to stand here and let people laugh at the people of God." Oh, that would God raise up men and women like that today. They wouldn't let people laugh at the Word of God, wouldn't let people laugh at the people of God, wouldn't let people laugh at the Church of God. Oh, the terrible thing. Today, even the church, a lot of Christians, they spend a lot of time criticizing the church. They spend a lot of time criticizing the Word of God. They spend a lot of time mocking people that have dedicated and given their lives to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Not David, Daniel too. Daniel was good at that day. Daniel had a purpose, and Daniel stood tall. But David, he said, no way. He said, what's going on here? Here's this army, here's all these soldiers, and they let this Philistine, this Goliath come down and laugh at and mock the people of God. The number one thing we see, the first characteristic we see of David that made him a man after God's own heart, he was zealous. He had a passion for the Word of God and the people of God and the nation of God. And would to be, dear friends, that we were that kind of people like David. That we were people that had a passion and a love for the Word of God, for the people of God, for the church of God. So then you know what happened. He goes to Saul here. He's talking to the king. Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth." You're just a boy, a teenage boy. "And he a man of war from his youth." David said to Saul, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth, the lamb out of the mouth of the lion and the bear. And when he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defiled the armies of the living God." That is, David wasn't just... Even though he was a boy, he had been used to defending what he was in charge of. When he was out there being a shepherd boy, he had the experience of protecting the sheep. When the bear came along and took one of the sheep, David went after it and took the sheep out of the mouth of the bear and slew the bear. When the lion came, he did the same to the lion. He was used to standing up to the enemy. He was used to taking a position. He had a passion, a desire for that, which was right. He had built some muscle, not only some physical muscle, but some spiritual muscle. And he had built a conscience that you don't mock God, you don't mock His Word. And you don't mock His people, and you don't mock His church around David. I'll tell you, David wouldn't put up with it. No way. People laugh at the Word of God. "Oh, God didn't create everything." David said, "Well, He certainly did. God made everything." "Well, God isn't all powerful." "Well, He certainly is all powerful." "Well, God can't save a person from this coronavirus." "Well, certainly He can. He saved people from a lot worse things than that." So we have people in our country, an authority, mayors, governors, that say prayer doesn't do any good. That only the science can do it. Well, I'll tell you, I'll take my chances on prayer and trusting God for my health a lot further, a lot faster than I will in scientists and doctors. One of the things that we cannot lose sight of is that our value isn't in our physical health, our value is in our spiritual health. Our value is in our soul. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God shall never pass away. And what shall it profit a man if he gains the world? What does it profit a man if he lives to be 100, 150, 200, I don't care how long, and he dies and he doesn't know Jesus Christ as his Savior? It profits nothing, my dear friends. The greatest need people have is the Lord Jesus Christ to have eternal life, to have the Son. The value of a soul is precious and is the most valuable thing there is. The Word of God is very clear. What shall it profit a man, a woman, anyone? What shall it profit a person if they gain the whole world? They have perfect health. They have perfect riches. They have a Tesla. See a lot of those around nowadays, Tesla. They have all of that, and they die, and they don't have the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it gain them? Nothing. David knew something about that. David had a passion for the things of God. And David wasn't going to stand there, even though he was a young boy, even though he wasn't dressed in the battle clothes of the army, but David wasn't going to stand there and let this 9 foot, 9 inch tall man criticize the living God. And so David went out and did battle with him. David, as we know, what we have here in the Word of God, so they let David go. Verse 40, we go down now to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. And he, David, took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. So he went down to the brook, and he reached down there, and he got 5 nice round stones. I read something interesting. Why did he take 5? It only took 1. Well, because Goliath had 4 sons. Goliath had 4 sons, and they were going to come after him. He just needed 1 stone for Goliath. It wasn't a repeater. You know, it wasn't one of these AK-47s. Boo, 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 boo. No, 1 slingshot, you know, 1 stone. That's all he needed. He took that 1 stone out of the brook. And David took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came and drew near to David and the men. What a battle going on now. Here we have, this is for the big prize. This is for winning the war. This is for the defeat of the other nation. Goliath, a man of war from his youth, 9 feet, 9 inches tall. Here's David, a little boy, teenager, keeper of sheep. And the Philistine looked about and saw David and disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy and fair of countenance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest after me with the steve, with your staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beast of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword. Notice verse 45 here, dear friends. Verse 45, another verse you need to underline. Mark, bright yellow marker. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the armies of heaven, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou dost hast defiled. You come in all of your armor, you come with your tanks, you come with your machine guns, you come with your fighters, you come with all of the weaponry and all of the equipments of war you can imagine. Bring it on, because I come in the name of the Lord. Dear friends, it's not by might, but not by power, but it's by my spirit that battles are won. And the battle that you and I are in today, the battle that we're in as individual Christians, the battle that we're in as Christ Fellowship Baptist Church, is a spiritual battle. And it's going to be won on our knees by prayer. It's going to be won on our faith by trusting God. Not by might, not by power. It's going to be won in the Spirit of God by the work of the Spirit of God. The work of the church isn't the work of the world, isn't the work of how much money we spend and how big we are and how rich we are. The work is the letting God work and watching Him and trusting Him and have faith in Him. That's what David said. He comes in his great armor. He had an armor bearer. Imagine, here comes this great man. Here before him is an armor bearer with an armor in front of him. And here's David, no armor, no armor bearer, no weapon, just this little slingshot. And the poor giant, Goliath is going to laugh himself to death if he's not careful. He's just really amused at this. Well, this was an easy battle. Get ready, folks. We've won now. We got the prize. David took the sling, and around it went. David let goose. It wasn't the power of David. It wasn't the strength of David. And I imagine David was pretty accurate with that sling. I suppose being out in the shepherd like that, and the sheep, and as they grazed, it got pretty boring, don't you imagine? And I imagine he spent quite a bit of time with that slingshot, shooting at different trees, different twigs, probably once in a while when he was littler, even, you know, hit a few sheep with it, you know? And he got pretty good. He got to where he could make that rock go about where he wanted it to go and hit what he wanted to hit. But on this day, dear friends, do you think it was his strength and his accuracy that sent that through the giant's forehead? It was his faith. I'm not saying maybe it was his skill too. Maybe that's why God chose him to go down there. I'm not saying he didn't. But the reason that it happened is that God had empowered it. And Goliath was wounded. Goliath fell down. Out of commission, stunned. He was stunned by that rock in the forehead. David ran up there. David didn't even have a sword when he went out. David ran up there and he took the sword. Goliath's sword. He took his own sword. Took the sword away from Goliath and took off Goliath's head. And of course, the enemy scattered. The Philistines took off running everywhere. The battle that day was to the people of God and to Israel. That's this man David. That's this man David. So the first characteristic, what was the evidence or the characteristic that David had a heart after God? Is he had a passion for the Word of God. He had a passion for the people of God. He had a passion for the honor of God. Oh, that that might be said of each and every one of us, that we have a love and a passion for the Word of God, every Word of God. That we have a love and compassion for the people of God, for the church of God, for those who love Christ and serve Him, that we would have a love for them and a passion and a defense of them. And that heavenly, and that when everyone mocks God and turns away from God and laughs at the people of God, that we'd be found like David of old. That we'd say, you're not going to laugh at our God. You're not going to laugh at God's people, not around me. You can stop it right now. You're not going to mock God around me because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. It was Christ that took my sins. He who had no sins, He went and died for me that I might have everlasting life. And the battle will be won as David won this day. As we have recorded in the Word of God in 1 Samuel chapter 17, the battle will be won today, not by might, not by power. The battle today will be won by the Spirit of God and by those who trust in Him. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this history that you've given us on this man, David, who had a heart for God. It was a man after God's own heart, a man that wanted to serve God, to know God, to be in communion with God. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, that you might give us that are gathered here today in this building, gathered here on Zoom Room, that gather here at the Christ Fellowship Church and other places, give us a heart for the things of God. Give us a heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, when we see the world more and more turning their backs against God, laughing at God, laughing at the Lord Jesus Christ, laughing at your word, rejecting it, may Heavenly Father, you give us individually and give us here at Christ Fellowship, give us the hearts and the desire and the ability that we might live for the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. May we be found faithful here, serving you until the Lord Jesus Christ comes for us in the air. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.